ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। इट्स वेरी हैप्पी हैप्पी ओकेजन टू सरप्राइजिंगली मीट ऑल ऑफ यू इन गोकर्णा गोकर्णा मठ। वी न्यू गोकर्णा फ्रॉम चाइल्डहुड एज कनेक्शन टू गोकर्ण पड़तगाली मठ फ्रॉम आवर कास्ट। प्रभुजी इज फ्रॉम पड़तगाली मठ, सो वी आर फ्रॉम काशी मठ, बट वी आर फ्रॉम सेम कास्ट। सो फ्रॉम चाइल्डहुड वी हैव बीन हियरिंग अबाउट गोकर्ण पड़तगाली मठ। टुडे द फर्स्ट टाइम आई वेंट देयर। इट्स जस्ट 5 मिनट्स वॉक फ्रॉम हियर, जस्ट क्लोज बाय हंगाचस बगलेस। सो गोकर्ण इज वन ऑफ द सप्त मुक्ति स्थल ऑफ कर्नाटका। लाइक आई डोंट रिमेंबर ऑल द नेम्स बट आई कैन टेल यू उडुपी इज वन ऑफ द मुक्ति स्थल, कोल्लूर इज अनदर वन, एंड मंजेश सुब्रमण्य इज अनदर वन, एंड आई डोंट रिमेंबर अदर वंस, सम द नेम्स आर डिफिकल्ट टू रिमेंबर, बट वन ऑफ द सप्त मुक्ति स्थल ऑफ कर्नाटका स्टेट। एंड देर आर मेनी इन्फॉर्मेशन अवेलेबल बट दे आर नॉट नेसेसरली शास्त्रिक इन्फॉर्मेशन। इज समथिंग कॉल्ड एज फोकलोर। फोकलोर मीन्स लोकवदंती। लोकवदंती इज इन्फॉर्मेशन ट्रांसमिटेड बाय वर्बल ट्रेडिशन। लाइक आई टेल माई सन, यू सन माई टेल, सन टेल्स हिज सन, लाइक दैट, एंड देन लोकवदंती। इट्स नॉट इन स्क्रिप्चर्स एज सच। आई गिव एग्जाम्पल वॉट इज लोकवदंती। फॉर एग्जाम्पल वेन कृष्णा वॉज बींग टेकन बाय वसुदेव टू गोकुल, एट वन पॉइंट ऑफ टाइम ही वॉज ड्राउनिंग हिमसेल्फ, एंड एक्चुअली ही ड्राउंड, एंड द बेबी फेल इन द वॉटर। बेबी कृष्णा वॉट वी हियर इन भागवतम इज दैट वॉटर केम अब ऑल द वे एंड देन कृष्णा टुक हिज लेग्स आउट एंड देस दोज लेग्स टच जमुना एंड जमुना गेव वे। दिस इज वॉट वी हियर इन भागवतम। बट लॉर्ड कृष्णा डज नॉट डू सेम थिंग्स एवरी टाइम वेन ही कम्स। ही डज सेम थिंग्स इन डिफरेंट डिफरेंट वेज, यू नो, लाइक इन वन युगा वेन ही केम वेन एज कृष्णा, देन कालिया ही सेंड टू फिजी आईलैंड, यू नो टूडेज फिजी आईलैंड, दैट कालिया विच इज देर इन फिजी आईलैंड इज अ प्योर डिवोटी कालिया, नॉट डीमन कालिया। यू हैव बिकम प्योर डिवोटी एंड गॉन टू फिजी। So the whole country of Fiji has a main worshipable deity is Kaliya, Kaliya Krishna. But in another time when Krishna came, he subdued Kaliya and he told Kaliya, now you have become a devotee of mine, so you take me to Swargalokas for a ride. So Kaliya became Sarpa Pakshi, he became a bird, snake bird, and he took Krishna all the way to all the heavenly planets. All the devatas and devaloka, they were very, very, very happy to see Krishna, you know, visiting their places. So everything may not be necessarily there in the scripture. So what I told you about Vasudeva was that Krishna actually in one of the pastimes fell down from the basket, and he, water was all over, water had risen above his head also. So he was like, he was in the water, baby was in the water, he was saying, koilo, koilo, कोई लो मेरे लाला को ले लो, कोई लो, somebody pick up my लाला, somebody may pick up my लाला। So that घाट where he was saying that is called कोयलो घाट। Now कोयलो घाट exists, it's not a imaginary location, it's a physical location. So you can trust the story has to be there. The name has come कोयलो because he was shouting, somebody take up my Krishna, he's drowning. But it was all an instant situation. It didn't last for a long time. Krishna fell, he fell, and suddenly the river opened. In between, this happened. maybe a fraction of second or some little moments of time. It happened and immediately lifted Krishna. He was right there in the water. But he, for a moment, he was totally lost. So this Koilo Ghat story is Lokavadanti. You got my point? It's like that. And there are some places in Brajbhumi where the stories are there in this Puran, that Puran, and various distant Puranas. But you will not find it in standard Puranas like Bhagavatam or, you know, like that. Skandan Padma Puran tells lots of stories of lots of places. But there are many places in Brajbhumi which are not there in scriptures. But they are there in local saintly people's books. Some saint has written something. So India is a, I'll tell you, India is a extremely rich place. Only we have to understand the richness of India. India is a unlimitedly spiritually endowed rich place. Every place, now today we are changing names and everything, but every place has got name after God. Originally speaking. Every single place. Which place in the world you know where every place is named after God or God's pastimes? No place in the world except Bharatvarsha. So every time we go to holy place, we should become proud Indians, not just because we are Indians. Because our Bhumi is very great Bhumi. Which Bhumi in the world has been traversed by unlimited number of saints, tell me? Unlimited number of saints, you know. You can call Punjabi saint, Maharashtrian saint, Kerala saint, Karnataki saint, you name Rajasthani saint, every single place there are hundreds and hundreds of saints. There is no dearth of saints. In Maharashtra, Tukaram is there, then in Karnataka, Purandar is there. Karnakadas is there. So many people are there. Unlimited saintly people, unlimited lords, incarnations, Lord Himself, demigods, demigoddesses, all have come here. Resided here, perform pastimes here, they are worshipped over here, they have some role to play, they have some benediction to give. Every inch of this place has been touched by the lotus feet of the Lord. So like that, Gokarna is one of the most powerful places. It is explained that even visiting and having a glimpse of Gokarna Mahadev bestows upon you lot of spiritual benediction. So it's not just, oh, Prabhuji's marriage, daughter's marriage is there, oh, we have come here. It's not accidental. Everybody has not come here, by the way. It's a fact, no? Why I should be here? I have never come to Gokarna till now. And neither there was any plan in my mind we will come to Gokarna anytime. It was not a goal that one day I should visit Gokarna. It was not like that also. In the Yatra, we were planning and we wanted to go to Mukambika, but we could not go to Mukambika for various reasons. And that's why in the place of Mukambika, we placed Gokarna. Although it's much further than that, but it's still approachable from the main road, not so far. So every visit to every holy place that you do by some reason or by accident or some function, it's all ordained by God. You should not think that, oh, because I went to Prabhuji's marriage and daughter's marriage, I went to Gokarna. It's not like that. You have been brought to Gokarna with a purpose by the Lord. It's like that. If we focus our mind on God always, then He will focus His mind on you always. And then whatever you do in life, it will be controlled and ordained by Him and by His desire. And whatever His desire will be for you, will be always for your upliftment and purification. It's so beautiful, right? It's not accidental, by chance. It's not like that. It's always well planned, well ordained, well visualized. We only get surprised sometimes. So one story here is that Lord Brahma has performed wonderful services to Krishna, and he's a wonderful personality, greatest personality in the whole universe, the creator. But still, to reiterate the point that demigods do make mistakes, and demigod life is not that we should desire for. That's a message. And to reiterate the message, reconfirm these words, Lord makes them keep commit some mistakes again and again. Don't think that Brahma was, you know, so fallen that he didn't know Krishna and he had to steal all the boys and then all that thing has to happen. The Lord's desire. He is so surrendered to the Lord that the Lord uses him in a trustworthy manner for such kind of thing also. See, suppose you are surrendered to the Lord, then he can use you for anything. He can make a clown out of you and teach the world from that. So like that, Brahma is so surrendered, being such a biggest personality on earth, still ready to appear like a clown sometimes, appear like a fool sometimes, appear like a, you know, making mistake person sometimes, just for us to learn. Indra also, Krishna has used him so many times. One way we can say, oh, Indra is everywhere involved, all kinds of mistakes is always there. He's sending some apsara, he's sending something, stealing the horse of Ashwamedha Yajna, and preventing this pure devotee, and disturbing Narayan Rishi and Vishwamitra Muni, everywhere he's in troublemaker. Appearing like that. But we should not create a negative image about Indra in our mind because of hearing all those things. I mean, who are we actually to judge somebody by hearing one story? How we can, we are so insignificant people. What qualification we have got? It's like, you know, Prabhuji is a PhD and he's now almost such an elderly man, you know, about to retire maybe. And some first standard math student is like judging him. What is the understanding of maths and how bad and how good he is compared to this man and this man. It's like a first standard student, what qualification he has got to judge anybody of that kind, you know. We are nobody. Even PhD students should be very cautious to judge somebody who is already a PhD of 20 years old, you know. Hare Krishna. So I am creating a bhumika. The story is very small, but you may feel, oh, this Brahma is everywhere making mistake. It is not like that. Sir, one time Brahma had done some mistake and then Shiva had to cut his fifth head. At one time Brahma had five heads. Four heads glorifying Krishna and fifth head was doing gossip, doing nonsense talk. So Shiva got very angry. So he cut off his head, fifth head. But because of that he got Brahma Hatya Pap. So he had to go all over the universe, purify himself, and he took bath everywhere. But that fifth head was not released from Trishul wherever he took bath. It was like, you can imagine if a microphone is there and microphone somebody's head is there. Cut head. How will I give lecture? If my microphone has somebody's head, and Trishul is constant accompaniment, no? He has to carry everywhere Trishul. He cannot just say, okay, I am going without Trishul now. Till it gets off, I don't know. So it was always with him, and you had a head of Brahma. I mean, if I come with some head, you'll ask, whose head is this? People must be asking him, no? Hari, whose head is this? You're carrying everywhere, whose head is this? Take it off, right? And he said, no, I am trying to take it out. It's not coming out. Then he went to Ramkunda at Nasik. And he took bath there and the head disappeared. So like that, one more time he performed some offense, and at that time Shiva came to actually I can't say bless him, but help him out. See, these demigods are great people actually. They have lots of good qualities. And please come quickly inside. Please come. I don't think you should look there again and again, because I am telling a story. You please focus here, okay? So, so it is said that there is a river Gangavali here and river Papanashini here. There are two rivers are there. And they are joining together. I need to find out where the location is. And it is supposed to be, the temple is supposed to be at the banks of those, that confluence. Or the whole Gokarna Kshetra is supposed to be at the confluence of these two rivers. So there, Shiva came out. It is said that the joining of these two rivers is in the form of a ear of a cow. The confluence of the two rivers, where they join, it makes the shape of a cow ear. And from there, Lord Shiva emerged and then helped Brahma to, you know, purify himself, whatever you say. I don't want to use any word like that because I feel very embarrassed. So, that's how the name of Gokarna came to this place. And the story goes like this, that Kaikashi, the mother of Ravan, she had a great desire to worship Atmalinga of Krishna. What is the meaning of Atmalinga of Krishna? The original linga which is there with Lord Shiva only. She wanted to have it in Lanka and worship. So Ravan went all the way to Kailash and did a lot of penances, severe heavy penances, because of which Shiva had to give darshan to him. See, when demons perform tapasya, no? They don't come with great pleasure. Oh, let me go and bless you. What will I give by benediction to you? It's not like that. When demons perform tapasya, no? They are forced to come. Hiranyakashipu, Brahma had to be. Everybody is saying, "Arey, Brahmaji, what are you doing? Go. He's going to destroy the world now with the fire that is creating." So he said, "Baba, what is wrong with you? Please tell me what I can do for you." Then the benedictions are there. So like that, Ravana performed, so Shiva had to appear. So he said, "I want your Atmalinga." Now, demigods, they are bound by rules. If you give mulya, then they have to give you benediction against that. He has paid the mulya of tapasya, then he has to give benediction. So he has to give Atmalinga. But what is the meaning of giving Atmalinga? It means all the powers that Shiva has, that person will procure by worshipping that linga. He will become Prati Shiva. That means what? He can do Tandava and he can destroy the universe also. So as soon as that happened, Atmalinga was given, all demigods were really worried. Now what will happen? If he starts worshipping it, then he will become Prati Shiva. And he's a nasty fellow. Lord Shiva is very good. He's our friend. He's our well-wisher. But this fellow, everybody knows what is he. So somehow they all went to Vishnu. They were very upset. Now because they were not angry with Shiva, but they were upset. Now what to do with this situation? Somehow or other, we have to prevent this Ravan to take it all the way to Lanka and start worshipping in Lanka. So Lord Shiva did a trick with him actually. And he said that, "I will give you this Atmalinga, but I will have two conditions. You have to walk with this linga, not fly in Pushpaka. You already acquired Pushpaka by defeating Kubera. So you have to walk with this linga all over the earth, all the way to Lanka. Of course, when there is water, then you can fly, but necessarily all the land you have to walk. And second thing, if you keep it by chance anywhere, then that will be embedded so deep in the earth that nobody on earth can move it." He said, "Fine, no problem. I will carry it." He has no problem. He is very strong and very determined and very regulated and very, you know, like as far as tapasya regulations are concerned, Ravan is a great man. He is a great personality actually, except for demoniac nature. Everything in Ravan was very wonderful actually. Very worshipable and very glorifiable. So then Ravan started walking. And he is not like you and me, 6-footer. He is a man of Treta Yuga. And amongst the man of Treta Yuga also, he is a big man. Kumbhakarna, Ravana, not ordinary people. They are like so huge people. So walking very fast. So what Vishnu did, Vishnu devised a plan in discussion with demigods that, okay, somehow we have to stop him. And he said, Lord Ganesha is the best person for that. So they went and met Ganesha and told him that you become a boy and you just meet him on the way and he will offer this linga to you to hold. The plan was like this, that he will walk and then Lord Vishnu will put his chakra and cover the sun and create a scene of sunset. As soon as sunset will appear, immediately he will do Sandhya Vandanam preparation and he will have to find a bank of the river or ocean or whatever, and he has to be free from two hands and sit down and do the Sandhya Vandanam. So, as soon as Lord Vishnu did that, Lord Ganesha appeared as a boy with two hands, not with elephant head. As a boy, with Brahman boy with two hands. He just appeared there. And so, Ravan found him and he saw, okay, it's time for Sandhya Vandan. So, he said, "Can you hold this linga for me for some time? I will come as quickly as possible after doing my ritual." So, this boy said that, "I will hold it. I have no problem, but I am a boy, you know, I am I mean, he was a strong boy, but still he's a boy, not like Ravan. So I'm a boy, I will not be able to hope. Mataji, Prabhuji, don't do anything right now. Just leave it. You can give her that side, please. So, sorry, Mataji, please don't mind. My flow gets interrupted. So then I forget what I have to tell you. So Ganesha said, I'm a small boy. I will not be able to hold it for a long time. I will hold it, but once I get tired, no, I'll call you 3 times. And if you know, don't come after calling 3 times, then what to do? I'll have to keep it down. He said, no, before you even call me once, I will come. And sure, the plan was to keep it down, basically, not to hold it. So he went quickly and he did his fastest Gayatri, maybe in life. But before that, this boy put the linga down and vanished. And he did his Gayatri, and maybe he called in such a slow voice that he didn't even hear that. So he thought, I'm so fast, and I came in time, and he came and he saw the linga on the ground and the boy was absent. Immediately understood, it's a trick of demigods. Demigods have tricked me, because the chakra went off and it was sun. It was full day, not even evening. So yeah, you can understand immediately. Suddenly your Gayatri gets over, it becomes sunny again like noon. So he understood. He was very, very, very angry that he was tricked by demigod. Because he thought, trip demigod, these rascals, you know, I can defeat them, crush them anytime. How dare they do this? So naturally, you get angry when you are powerful. You feel yourself more powerful than those who are your enemies. But very angry, he said, I will uproot this. And he went and started uprooting it. And just he couldn't uproot it. And he could understand that the word of Shiva was so powerful that nobody could uproot it. And he was feeling, I also can't uproot it. So while uprooting, trying to uproot, he was saying, Mahabala, Mahabala, great power, you know. He was saying, oh my God, Mahapower, Mahabala. That's why the linga is called Mahabaleshwara. Okay? And then, in fact, when he was trying to uproot it, he could just take out some layers, like you can say some covering, whatever you say, some external part of it, and he took them out and he threw it away in 4 directions. So this one and 4 more places, it fell down. So again, I don't remember all names, but one of them name is Murdeshwara. One of the name is Shejaleshwara. Dhareshwara is another name. And one more name is missing. So then he was frustrated. He understood that now my power cannot uproot this. And he went away. And he went away very frustrated. His whole plan, you can imagine, after doing such long tapasya, going to such a long place from his house, being successful in that, and in the last moment, you know, it just gets completely spoiled. This is what happens when the intentions are wrong. Please understand. When the intentions are good, this kind of thing don't happen. Usually. Unless Lord has some other best plan for you. But usually these things happen when the intentions are bad. Especially when to harm somebody, to get powers to control others and, you know, really destroy everybody's sovereignty and dignity like that. So he went back. And this story of what happened down with Ganesh and everything was told by Vayudev to Lord Shankara. He was also eager to know what's happening, is the plan being successful, what. So he came down. And it seems Lord Shiva visited all the 5 places. First he came to Gokarna. And he went to other 4 places also. And by his presence and by his arrival, all these lingas, the pieces, they became lingas, proper lingas. This remained broken only, but those became proper lingas. And it is said that he was worshipped over there. And because of his being worshipped over there, all the 4-5 places, this became Pancha Tirtha. Pancha Shiva Kshetra, something like that. When 5 main places of Lord Shiva to be worshipped. So this is the story of Gokarna. And Gokarna is supposed to be Dakshin Kashi. Kashi is the headquarters of Lord Shiva. You know how Kashi was created, right? Lord Shiva got married with Parvati. The great famous love marriage that took place among demigods. Against the parents' will and everything. All kind of stories. Usual story, but in the names of demigods. Because Daksha had 11 daughters and 10 daughters were officially, beautifully, nicely, arrangedly married with great people, very worthy of Daksha's position and honor and power and everything. But Sati refused to marry anyone of his idea. And she declared that I am in love with Lord Shiva and I marry him only. And then he said, this Shiva has, you know, no house, always covered with ashes, always, you know, I mean, he can't sit in my company. I'm such a powerful person. Prajapati has a lot of powers and such dignity. Even Brahma's son, I am, even demigod respect me so much. And he's got so many, he was a great personality, just not ordinary person. And he felt himself, because of ignorance, that Shiva doesn't befit to be his son. So he condemned Sati, discouraged her, but she was determined. And she married him. And then he said, I'd give you up as my daughter. I don't want to call you as my daughter. Because you have disgraced me by your activity. I'm ashamed and indignified by your activity. So, like that. And then he would always send comments and keep passing comments. Your husband is a useless man. He's not worthy of anything. I'm feeling so ashamed to have such kind of son-in-law. And Parvati is a simple lady, you know. Although they are great personalities, but they are basically human. I mean, people, persons, they have emotions, they have everything. In fact, they have much more people than all of us. They are much more evolved people or persons than all of us. We are simple people. They are ordinary people. They are very evolved in emotions and interactions and etiquettes and everything. But she felt, okay, what is this? So she said, at least you make a house, na? At least, how many days I'll stay with you under a tree? You are worshipping all time in meditation and I am always next to you. I don't mind. I have no problem at all. But I feel socially a little embarrassed. What Lord Shiva did. In fact, Lord Shiva is a very, very powerful and very rich person, actually. But he's so detached at the same time. He appears to be like a fakir, you know. So he said, okay, you have so much desire to have a house, I'll make a house. So he made an aerial mansion. Something like a big desh, country he created in the sky, in the space. And that had all mountains and rivers and you name kundas and jharnas and waterfalls and gardens and jadi butis and ratnas, whatever you name as wealth and opulence, everything was there. And in that there was a palace with thousands of mansions and millions of servants, all bedecked with jewels, and everything was like amazingly wealthy, which the creation have never seen. Now Parvati was very happy. Parvati said, such a beautiful house we have got. We should do Grah Pravesh and Vastu Puja. We'll enter in a gorgeous way in the house. So they had a very grand ceremony. You can imagine that Parvati is inviting everybody. Such a great privilege to be in that function. So there was a grand famous function where Parvati really had a grand Vastu Puja, Grah Pravesh and kind of homas, and all the world's famous rishis that should be there, they were there. Topmost people. Actually, today also we had a very great marriage. Then few days ago, we had a big marriage in Mumbai. And all the people who are the best people, big names, are all there. Either when Parvati Grah Pravesh, everybody, all Saptarishis and demigods, and who are not called, they are embarrassed. We are not called, but like you can imagine what a situation it was. What a royal function. And then according to you, when the holy function takes place, what makes that function complete? Charity. Without Dakshina to Brahmins, Gaudana and whatever, it is not completed. You can't get the blessings fully. So Lord Shiva and Parvati sat for giving donations. You can see abundance. And rishis were asking and he was just giving and giving and giving and giving. And that went on for days together. Finally, the last rishi came to ask. And he said, give me this house. So he gave that house. And back to the Kailash tree. Under the Kailash tree. And Parvati is okay. She is fine. You can imagine. Abhi abhi love marriage kiya hai, toh abhi what to do? Yaar? We have to accept the husband. All of us should know. We have married with arranged or love. That is a different story. But like Now Madhura is getting married and your daughter is getting married tomorrow. All of you should know that once you get the husband, then you have to only do acceptance has to be there. With full wish, not unwilling, reluctant acceptance. No. Fully willing, happy, fully well adjusted emotionally, acceptance has to be there. Then the grihastha life is perfect. That's why when we do our homa, na, marriage homa, which we conduct, we have a lot of ceremonies in that. And in Sindur Dana ceremony, we chant so many couples' names in the mantra. In that, Ravan Mandaduri also is there. Imagine. Shiva Parvati also is there. Rama Madhav also is there. Nala Damayanti also is there. So many people are there. So in that, Shiva Parvati also is there. Ravan Mandaduri also is there, because Ravan may be a demon, but Mandaduri and their connection was really very good, and her Pativratya was like superfluous. So because of her, basically their name is there. The point is that whatever way the husband is, the wife has become Lopa Mudra. There was one great lady called Lopa Mudra Devi. And we used to learn in Vyakarana, you know, what is the meaning of Lopa Mudra? It's called Bahuvrihi Samas. The meaning of the name is not direct, it's like very indirect. One whose mudra is Lopa with the husband, she's called Lopa Mudra. What does that mean? That means she has connected and united with her husband in bhava so much that she has lost her mudra herself. Uska mudra lop ho gaya hai. Actually she's kept her identity, but she is so much immersed in husband's consciousness and bhava and united with him with bhava that she has become lopa mudra. She is now known by husband only. That is the ideal standard, okay? And in such life, even the husband goes to hell, na? Wife will go back to Godhead. See the power of Pativratya. Pativratya is an extremely powerful situation. So Parvati went back. And again taunting started. Such a foolish husband is that. So Parvati again got influenced and said, Prabhu, please, can we do something about it? See, 11 daughters, 10 daughters always are well placed, well situated, well honored, well privileged, well respected, and always being invited to family functions, and she's not invited. See, she's feeling bad about it. And then Lord Shiva created Kashi just to please her. And Kashi's opulence, even what you call, put to shame Indra also. There was Kashi's opulence. Great opulence. Kashi was like amazing place. And all the Shiva's great devotees resided over there. All the historical devotees all resided in Kashi to get shelter of Lord Shiva. Shiva kept blessing them, all of them there. And one day, Banasur worshipped Lord Shiva. And he said, I want to kill Krishna. So now Shiva is going to get difficulty, na? He can't say, yes, I bless you. You can kill Krishna. He can't say that. So he said, he gave a tricky blessing. He said, don't worry, whenever you go to fight with Krishna, I will go be on your side. It's like I will support you, I'll pacify you, and not say exactly what you want to say. And you feel happy by at the same time. So Banasu actually declared war against Krishna. Lord Shiva, as a promise, had to join with his all Ganas and Pretas and Bhutas and everybody joined. And there was a great fight. And then it's a big story actually, in Bhagavatam. I'll not go into that big story. Kashiraj was killed and so many people were killed, and then Kashiraj's head was cut and that head was thrown in Kashi. And Kashiraj, before going to war, he has said, I will bring my enemy's head to Kashi. In a great, you know, fervor to encourage his people, to give hope and confidence, he said, I will go and bring the head of my enemy in my kingdom. So what Krishna did? He cut Kashiraj's head and threw that head in Kashi. And people thought, yes, our king is fulfilling our promise. He is bringing the head of our enemy. And they kept running in a very jubilous way. And they saw that it's the head of our king actually. He was so unhappy actually. In the meantime, Lord Shiva started fighting with Krishna one to one. In the meantime, Lord Krishna sent Sudarshan Chakra, and Sudarshan Chakra, after killing Sudesh, that particular what is called Dakshinagni demon, Kashiraj was killed. No, then what happened? His son, his name was, I think, Sudeshna. What is his name? Sudakshina. Sudakshin. He sat down for meditation immediately. He worshipped Lord Shiva. And then by Tantra, he created a demon called Dakshinagni. He said, "Yes, my lord, what is the order?" He said, "Go and destroy Krishna and Dwarka also." So he came, Dakshinagni. As Agni only he was, burning everybody, he came. And there was hahakar in Dwarka. Everybody was crying, "Oh Krishna, oh Dwarkadish, where are you? Please save us." And Krishna was playing chess with Rukmini that time. Very peacefully, you know, nicely sitting and playing chess. Suddenly everybody came running. And Krishna was not even a bit disturbed by that. And they told that what is happening. So Krishna called, "Chakra, please come. Take care of him." So then Chakra went and destroyed that demon. Okay. Now there's a problem in Tantra. What happens in Tantra is, when you do something with Tantra, na, and if it fails, then it comes back on the person who has originated the whole thing. So as soon as Dakshinagni was killed, who was supposed to kill the enemy, when Dakshinagni failed, then the people who were doing that, they were killed. Even the king's son was also killed. Because Chakra went and destroyed everybody. Even Tantra itself also killed everybody. And then Chakra, when he went to Kashi, he burnt the Kashi to ashes. So I told the story. Ek to wo Hawa Mahal, wo bhi gaya. Aur ek Kashi bhi gaya. Isliye Marathi mein ek kahawat hai, you know. Uska to Kashi kar diya pura. Haan. Je Kashi zali purna. Je Kashi karun takli. Matlab kya? Destroy completely. So from where this point came of Kashi, tell me. This point it came. So it is declared as Dakshin Kashi. This place is called Dakshin Kashi. As powerful as Kashi. As far as Lord Shiva and his worship is concerned. And what else of Gokarna? Gokarna is also a very important Vidyapeet of India. Even today also, a lot of Sanskrit Vidyapitas are here, which are depicting Vedic knowledge to people. It's a beautiful place filled with nature. It is said even the glimpse of Gokarneshwar Mahadev, even the glimpse is going to give us a lot of blessings. Of course, we don't go to Shiva for any material blessings and material boons. We only go to Shiva for asking for devotion to Krishna. And he is also extremely happy when he meets devotees. Those who are worshipping his master, when he meets those people, he is extremely happy. He is happy to meet everybody else, very compassionate person, because he is the only demigod. Some people are very unique, you know. They don't do usual sevas. They do most difficult sevas, like Yamraj. Nobody wants to become Yamraj. But he is doing such seva, which is most unpleasant, where nobody wants to see your face, you know. That kind of seva he is doing. On behalf of Krishna, for Krishna he is doing. So Lord Shiva also, Lord Krishna is declaring himself, he is not different from me. He is same as me. Kshiram dadivikara vishesha yoga. What is the shloka? Kshiram yatha dadivikara yoga. That means I am not different. I am milk and he is dahi. We are both are same. Only the effect is different. So that kind of personality is engaged in serving tamoguna, in controlling tamoguna. In the process, so many demigods approach, demons approach. He is known as demigod of demons. Majority of devotees of Lord Shiva are demons. So like, you are known by your followers, na, basically. So all followers are like this Ravana and so many things are there. All kinds of demons, asuras. But on behalf of Krishna, he is okay with that. Apart from these big demons who are like defaming him as their master, he is also sheltering Bhutas, Pretas, Ganas, all kinds of Brahma Rakshasas, Vetalas, Dakinis, all kinds of most unwanted living entities, species of life. is altering them also. One more thing the married people should know, that Lord Shiva is constantly worried about these living entities called Bhuta Pretas. 11 types of them are there, 11 types. And Brahmarakshas is the topmost. Brahmarakshas is the one, when a Brahmana performs sinful activities and aparadhas, he becomes Brahmarakshasa. He is the worst of all. Worst of all Rakshasa is Brahmarakshasa. So he is always worried about them, looking at their position, and he is sheltering them and be kind upon them. I am looking, always trying for them to get a birth as a human being. But they are without body, na? So they are suffering like anything. So he wants to deliver them by step one, by giving them a entrance in the mother's womb of a human being. So when is he moving around for that? All the Gana, Pretas and Bhutas. Sandhya Kala. Twilight time. It's not day, not night. Sun has set. Night has not come in. In between period is Sandhya Kala. That's why Sandhya Kala is actually time where all the Bhuta, Pretas, Ganas are with Lord Shiva revolving in the universe. And whoever is having sex that time, these people enter in the womb of those people. That is the time where Kashyapa Muni was forced by Diti to unite. And he told Diti, this is not a good time. This is not a good time. We'll only invite demons. But she was so enamored by lust that she pulled him and they had union. And immediately there were thunders, earthquakes, meteor falls, all kinds of unwanted things happened in the universe. Not on birth, on conception. Please understand. Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu were conceived at that time. And that very time they were ulkapath. And they were all nasty things that shouldn't have happened, happened. And that time Kashyap Muni told, I told you, these two children will create havoc in the universe. That for each one, Lord had to take a separate incarnation. Not that he took one and he managed the both. They were so big actually in their demonic activity. So all married people, new and old, should know this, that uniting with husband and wife is only between 9 and 12. Second prahara of the night. Not first prahara, 6 to 9. Not third prahara. Third prahara also is Rakshas prahara. From 12 to 3. And then the fourth prahara is Brahma Murta. 3 to 6 in the morning to chant the holy name of the Lord. So only time for begetting children is second prayer of the night, 9 to 12. Please note this point. So now shall I go back? Rewind? We didn't go to that place, but I can tell you the name. Murdeshwar is the place where the another piece of the linga fell down there. Have you? How many of you have been to Murdeshwar? Such a beautiful place. You know, how nicely it is made and beautiful place, really. Your heart was very satisfied today. And then there's a place called Mukambika, close by. There was one demon, one rishi called Kola. Kola Rishi. It was a very powerful rishi. And he pleased Devi, Durga Devi. And he wanted her to come to his place. I think it was... where is his place? Okay. So she said, I'll come. You go ahead. I'll come on chariot and I'll walk behind you. You don't look behind. But she wanted to come to this particular place where today Mukambika is residing. So she tricked him by stopping the sound of ankle bells and he turned behind. So she stayed there only. That is the place called Mukambika. And the place is called Kollur because where Kola Rishi brought Devi there. And then there was one demon who came up and he really disturbed the demigod. Of course, usual story. Worshipping Shiva and getting boons and then troubling demigods, conquering their kingdom and creating havoc. So he was in this area. And he was disturbing Kola Rishi also in his tapasya. So Kola Rishi worshipped the Devi and said, please do something about it. So first what she did, she made him dumb. Just he could not chant any more mantras and could not perform any more things. Because he was just going on and on and on performing and getting more and more powers and disturbing everybody. So she thought, okay, I'll just make him dumb. So he'll not be able to chant any mantras. But he became more furious and started disturbing sadhus like anything. Then she came and killed him. So that's why she's called Mookambika. One who killed the Mooka. Mooka means dumb. The person who cannot speak is called Mooka. So she is called Mookambika Devi. So she resides over there in Mookambika. Very famous place, very beautiful place. And is one of the Mukti Pitha of Karnataka. Another story is that he pleased Lord Shiva actually. And he established Lord Shiva. But he said, I want Devi also. So the linga which he created and established, on that one golden line appeared. Effulgent line. So what we have there is Shivalinga with Parvati together, and that is Mookambika in the golden line. And that's the form of Linga actually. They have Murti also, but the original place to be worshipped is Linga form. Like that, Katil Devi also is Linga form. Bhupanada Devi also is Linga form. Very unique thing, huh? Devi coming in a Linga form, like a Shivalinga. Then we went to Katila. And the Katil story, now Katila is now, we are now at one end, north side, and the southernmost part we went is Katila. It is Mangalore actually, Mangalore area, Kodiyala. So there, I'll tell you all stories in short only. There was a demon whose name was, forget the name now. Anyway, doesn't matter. So, okay, his name was Arunasura. Devi killed Shumba and Nishumba. There are many twins like this, Sunda Upasunda, Shumba Nishumba, and Chanda Prachanda. There are many kind of demons like that who are twin brothers. And Lord Krishna killed in many different forms, Vishnu form. So Shumba Nishumba, when they were killed, theirs Senapati, Arunasur, ran away. And in the revenge, he performed tapasya and got great powers and started doing disturbance again. So demigods approached Brahma, Brahma approached Vishnu, Vishnu approached Devi and told, please take care of him. So she became Mohini Devi. She took form of Mohini Devi, very beautiful, enamoring, enchanting form. And Chandan Prachanda were assistants of this person, Arunasur. They informed, she is a very beautiful lady. So he got great desire to marry her. She should be only for me. All demons unanimously feel the same way. All of them. Whenever any beautiful thing comes, they feel that this should be enjoyed by me. It should be meant. It is meant for me only. Who's called as demon, by the way? Not one who has got horns and teeth coming out of the mouth and, you know. Demon is a person who thinks everything is for his enjoyment. He is a demon. And the most finest and basic definitions of demonic nature is, whatever is there in the world is meant for me. That is demonic mentality. And what is devotee mentality? Whatever is there in the world is meant for the enjoyment of the Lord. And I am the Lord's servant. My duty is to connect those beautiful things to the Lord and let Him enjoy all those things. That is devotee of the Lord. So she took form of Mohini and he went and he proposed to her. And she refused. In the meantime, I forgot to tell you one thing. Arunasur performed tapasya and he got pleased Brahma and got benediction from Brahma, that I will not be killed by Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh. I should not be killed by any two-legged or four-legged animals. I should not be killed by any Astra Shastra, by anything. Almost like Hiranyakashipu only. So he became invincible. And now, even the demigod, the Trinity, Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, approached Devi. Now you have to help us because I think you can do something about it. So she took Mohini, she devised a very beautiful plan. And she became Mohini, attracted him, he proposed her, and she refused. She said, you are Arunasur, then your master's by being killed, you ran away. You are a coward. You think I will marry you, a coward man? So he was like, really his ego was hurt. You know, like he's so powerful by these boons, but she's saying, you are a coward. So he took out his sword and wanted to kill her there only. And she immediately disappeared in the rock. This is all trick, by the way. How to kill the demon? You have to find ways and means, no? Like the Lord had to create another species for Hiranyakashipu. Because he took benediction of all the species, 84 lakhs. No species can kill me. So he knew that nobody can kill me. The Lord came up in the form of a no species, different species only, half man, half lion. And he was wondering, are this species? I never saw this species. He says, who cares? Even though it's not within my realm of benedictions, I am so powerful, I will kill that person also. That is a false ego he had. So that Devi vanished in the rock. So he broke the rock with his sword, you know, hit the rock so hard with the sword and broke it into pieces. And there came from the rock unlimited bees, poisonous bees came out and started stinging him like anything. And then after those gang of bees, the queen bee came out, Bhramara Devi, the big one, you know, the real one. And she was that Devi. She took the form of that Bhramara. She, a female, a mother bee. And it said that he was trying to, what his sword will do. Huh? Imagine, suppose 1,000 mosquito attack me. What my sword will do, my gun will do, my missile will do. Huh? They are going to bite me anyways and I am going to be killed. Such, you know, weightless creatures are going to kill my bullets and my guns and my bombshells are going to be useless. Like that, his sword was very powerful. But what the sword can do to the bees? It is said that she stung him so many times till he died. And then she was like, immediately, as soon as, now you understood, I read the story. When I read the story, I prepared, I didn't have any, but when I was speaking the story, I understood, oh, two-legged and four-legged, and beyond those are the insects who have got many legs. So she had to find out that he has got benediction of two legs and four legs, but beyond that, there are many legs are available. That's why she took the form of a bee. This I realized when I was speaking the story. Like Lord Narsingadev took form of half man, half lion, right? Because to fit in the bill of Brahma's boons. Like that, to fit in the bill of Brahma's boons given to Arunasura, she had to do this trick. So as soon as she killed this Arunasura, all demigods came and worshipped her. And established her there only, where she did all these things. So if you go to today, the temple of Katila, it is there in the middle of Nandini River. And Kati means, where is Kati? In between the body. Exactly, if you see, if you go to the half of the body, you have Kati. That means our waist. Half body up, half body down. So Kati is the middle. So this temple is created in the middle of Nandini River, exactly halfway. And there's a rock also there, in which she disappeared and it was broken by the demon. The rock also is there, very beautiful, divine-looking rock, right in the entrance of the temple. And we cross the rock and go ahead, the river is there in between the temple. Going in between the temple, the bridge from entrance to the temple, and inside there's a temple. Now the story of Nandini River is like this, that when this Arunasura started troubling, so Jabali Muni got really disturbed, because Jabali Muni was very kind to living entities, and he found that this Arunasur, after getting powers, troubled demigods so much, the demigods got really upset and they declared that we will not put any water only on earth. So they decided to tell Indra, stop raining any water there. We are frustrated with this whole thing. Now, because of demon, the demigods are upset, and the suffering is whom? The people are suffering down there. So Jabali Muni felt very bad actually. He thought he'll do tapasya and please demigods to again rain. So he went to Indra and told, please give me Kamadhenu. So with the help of Kamadhenu, I'll do worship, I'll do yagyas, perform yagyas. So Indra said, Kamadhenu has gone to Varun Loka for a visit. So she's not available. But Nandini is available, her daughter is available. She's equally powerful. So he went to Nandini and requested her, please, as per demigod's desire, my desire, please come down to assist me in the yagyas. And she started condemning the earth like anything. The earth is so miserable place. The people on earth are so miserable. They are so sinful. They are so degraded. She had condemning everything of earth like anything. So he said, he was still tolerant and he was requesting, please forgive me, but please come. But she was like going on and on. And he was like requesting her again and again. You can imagine, you are doing a good work and you are requesting for good work, but the person is not listening only. So still he was tolerating, and he was very powerful Rishi. And finally he got very angry with her and he cursed her that you will flow as a river on earth. So she immediately became very humble, understood the power of the Rishi. But he said, you have to become a river. She went to demigods and pleaded. They said, no, when Rishi has cursed, you have to become a river. So she became a river in Kanakagiri, which is there beyond Mangalore. And from there, Nandini River flows. And at the halfway of the river, this pastime took place. And the river went and met the ocean. That's the story of Nandini River. This Nandini River meets another river. I forget his names. And there another Leela happened. And why I get inspired to tell this story is because they are all for the welfare of mankind actually. Whenever mankind was in trouble, these great demigods come together and help them, help all of us. So what happened there, that, you know, Hiranyakashipu was killed. Everything did not end over there. Hiranyakashipu had a sister, not Holika, different sister was there. Or maybe there was a daughter, I'm not very sure, but there was one lady who was very, very upset. Very, very upset with the killing of Hiranyakashipu. So she decided to take revenge. She performed tapasya and pleased Lord Brahma. Poor fellow Brahma, every time he is so embarrassed, you know, because all these ladies and men go and load such kind of tapasya, he has to go and, as per the rule of the Srishti, he has to give reaction to that or boon to that. So then she said that, I want to have a son who can kill Vishnu. And I want to have a son like Lord Shiva, from Lord Shiva. Now Shiva is obliged. But Shiva is doing his meditation. She took form of Parvati Devi. And she created a situation which is very enamoring, very enchanting, very misty, and creating a lot of lust in the heart of everybody. Even in Krishna Leela also, Kamadev had created such environment in one place called Ranwari in Chhata. So that place was so enchanting place, and she became Parvati and started residing over there. And suddenly, in Kailash, in meditation position, Shiva felt like meeting Parvati. She had missing Parvati. She wanted to meet Parvati. So she had wandering. He got up and started wandering, and he straight came to that place where she was, you know, she had created the whole scenario. And after getting more and more enamored, Shiva was like looking for Parvati. Where is my dear Parvati? And suddenly she appears as Parvati. And they have a union. And then their son, I forgot his name again, that demon was born. So Shiva understood this is Brahma's desire, so he didn't mind, he went back. And she then cultivated enmity in the heart of that boy, so much about demigods and about Vishnu. See what a mother can do, imagine. You can instill love for the Lord in the heart of her son or daughter, or you can instill enmity, gossip, envy, all these kind of things the mother can instill in the heart of. So this as a plan, this demoness instilled such kind of negative emotions in the son. And soon he became very big and he started giving trouble to everybody. Again, Lord had problem, what to do? He is as powerful as Lord Shiva. So Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva and Parshuram, all four came together. They had a meeting, what to do? They said that Mangala Gauri is the only person who can handle this situation. Because we are all now, by the power of boons of Brahma, we are a little helpless here. So then they called Mangala Gauri. And they, Parshuram gave Parshu, Brahma gave Brahmadanda, Vishnu gave Chakra, and Brahma gave Brahmadanda, and Shiva gave Pashupatastra. She had four arms, and four arms were equipped with these four weapons, and she worshipped all the four great lords, and she was blessed, and she went. And she caught this demon at the very place where today Bangalore is there. At the bank of the ocean, where these two rivers unite, there they had a great fight. Long time, and the demon actually ran in the ocean and hid himself because she was so powerful. She defeated him, but she didn't kill him. Then the Devi waited for him. And at Sandhyavandan time, to worship Shiva, he came out. And that time she slayed him. And immediately all these four gods appeared there. And they worshipped Devi. And they established him, her, in the temple at the bank of the ocean in Mangalore. And gave the name as Mangalore to the place. Whatever name, Mangaluru, is a place after the name Mangala Gauri. Worship there. Very beautiful place, huh? Because in the middle of city and crowd and everything, we could not go there. But we told this story to all the yatris. Very, very beautiful place, Mangala Gauri's place. Then we went to a place called Yermala Krishna, which is on the way between Udupi and Mulki. Near Mulki, but towards south direction. Again, there was a river called Kamini River, which flew from another mountain. And this place appeared from the bottom of the river above the ground level. So Yermal means, in what is the meaning of Yermal? In Kannada, high place. Uchi jaga. That's why it's called Yermal. And it is also explained that when Madhvacharya found those Chandan logs, there was one more Chandan log which had one more Krishna, which is Yermal Krishna. When this place appeared, the villagers told Madhvacharya, please give us deity of Krishna. So that deity of Krishna, which is separate from Udupi Krishna, he installed it over there. So by his installation, this place Yermal Krishna is Prati Udupi, matlab, has equal power as Udupi Krishna. Like we have Prati Vrindavan, Kamevan, like that we have Prati Udupi established in Yermal Krishna. Very beautiful place. I mean, it's right on the highway. Right on the highway, just before Mulki. You tell me when to stop, huh? I'll go on till midnight. I have a disease, you know. Once I stop, start speaking, I don't know when to stop. So you have to tell me when to stop, okay? So, next place we went is Mulki. How many of you have gone to Mulki? I suggest you must go to Mulki. So you don't have to be GSB for that, huh? By the way. Only GSBs raise the hand. Because GSBs have... The original temple of GSB is Mulki temple. The first one, our... Yes, Prabhuji?
Prasadam has come.
If after this story, we'll stop. The first place which our Swamiji is in ancient times, not now, 8th century, the first ever temple of Gauda Saraswat Brahmins was Mulki temple. I'll tell the story to you. The story starts from Prahlad Maharaj. And I was thrilled to know this story actually. That's how I started taking them to everybody to this place. And by the way, it happens to be my mother's village also. So I had my childhood attachments to that place. But after a long time, after becoming Hare Krishna devotee, I came to know the story that it is connected with Prahlad and Bali Maharaj. So when, to cut the whole thing short, when Narsingha Bhagavan was leaving after all the pastime, Prahlad began crying. You know, Narsingha Bhagavan spent some time in teaching yoga to Prahlada. Many forms of Narsingha Dev was created in Ahobilam. And he did a lot of lila, but not much time. And when he was leaving, that time Prahlad started crying. He said, I will not be able to live without you. How will I live without you? So Lord Narsingha Dev immediately created a murti, Ugra Narsimha murti, and gave it to Prahlad to worship. And that's how Prahlad was pacified. Lord said, I will be there with you with this in the form of murti. And when this happened, which part of the yuga? According to your understanding? Sure, na? Satya Yuga. Then Prahlad gave birth to Virochana, and Virochana gave birth to Bali Maharaj. And Prahlad was there, worshipping the deity. And I will not go in detail about this story of Bali Maharaj, but all of you know that Vamandev appeared and three boons, the three steps of land and conquering everything, three Vikrama and everything. And the world was thinking that the Lord is punishing Bali. But devotees and sadhus knew that Lord is blessing the Bali, blessing Bali Maharaj like nobody else. He did Atmanivedanam. And Lord gave that kind of response to him. Do you know the kind of boons Lord gave to Bali Maharaj? Huh? Hare Krishna? What boons Bali Maharaj received? Anybody knows? That is, Lord said, I'll become... No, before that, gatekeeper of what he became? First he said, ki, you wanted to become Indra, but I am sending you to Sutar Loka, lower planets. So I will make Sutar Loka much, 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 much more opulent and powerful than Indra Loka also, Amaravati also. That is the first benediction. What is the second benediction he gave? That my Indra only... No, gatekeeper is last boon. My Indra only become envious of you. Because for Indra only, he did all this trick, na? To return their kingdoms back. So they should be happy. But Indra will say, oh, you gave us a kingdom back, but you made his kingdom more powerful than mine also. So he will not have pleasure of the receiving the kingdom, but he'll see, oh, Sutar Loka. So he said, to save you from Indra's eyes, my chakra will protect your land. Second benediction. Then he said, that you will live for, I think, some 36,000 of years. Something like that, big number. But you will not be affected by demoniac association of your wives and children and fellow demons. You will live with them, but their consciousness will not affect your consciousness. Fourth boon, you will not become old. With all this time, you will remain the same. Ever charmful, ever youthful, ever powerful, ever devotional. Such a boon, you know, like, bolte na varshav kar diya hriday se pura. And then he said, I will like to live with you, and I will come and live with you in Sutar Loka as a gatekeeper. And while all this was happening, Prahlad had come there to witness the glory of his grandson. He had come with his deity, of course, and he was listening, and he was very happy. But when he heard this, that my Lord is going to go to my grandson's place in Sutar Loka, he immediately gave his deity to somebody. And that is called as a place called Varahapur in South India, near Cochin. He gave that devotee one this murti. He said, I am going with the Lord. And even the Lord said, you come with me. If you go to Vrindavan, every ancient temple at the entrance has got two sitting places, where generally Jai Vijay stand in Vaikuntha. On earthly temples also, there is a lot of beautiful place. If you go to Damodar temple, if you go to any temple, you will find at the entrance there is a place, two sitting places, nice places are there, and then the entrance is there. It is said that at the entrance of the palace of Bali Maharaj in Sutar Loka, Lord Vishnu, Vamanadev sat at one plate, and next place was Prahladi, and they both were discussing the glories of Bali Maharaj and many other devotees of the Lord. You can imagine the glory of Bali Maharaj. And then long time passed, and Lakshmidevi was upset. She felt, where is my Lord? He has not come back. I know he has gone and he is appearing as Vaman and all these things, but he has not come back only. Then they found out from demigods what happened. He said, Lord has gone down to Sutar Loka. So she was feeling very sad. So she went down to Sutar Loka. And he said that she went on Rakhi Purnima day. And she took Rakhi with him, her. And she tied Rakhi to Bali Maharaj. So Bali Maharaj was very happy. My God. Lord Vamandev, and now his wife also has come. She was so happy. He touched her feet and worshipped her. And she said, I want to tie Rakhi to you. He said, okay. And then she said, what do you want? Because after tying Rakhi, you have to give benediction or some gift to your sister. So she said, I have got one request as a boon, that you please come from only one gate, fixed gate. Because he had many, many gates into his palace. And he would come by various gates every single day. And poor Vamandev had to run from gate to gate. Are aaj kahan se aa rahe? Oh, Dakshin gate se aa rahe. Dakshin gate bhaag rahe. Said, I feel very pity when I came inside your palace. I saw my husband running from one place, gate to another gate. I felt very sad. Can you give me this boon? First she said that, give my husband back. And said, Bali Maharaj fainted immediately there. Said, how can I give my Lord back? You know how much I have sacrificed to get him. Then she said, at least you give me this spoon. Then she said, my mother, of course, she's sister now, but she said, you have come all the way. Don't take my Lord away. You stay. You stay here. This is your house. So it is said that she stayed from Rakhi Purnima day to Kartik Purnima day. And what is that? That is Chaturmasa time. So at Kartik Purnima day, then she told Bali Maharaj, now let us go. And then that day, Bali Maharaj, Vamandev and Lakshmi Devi, they went back to Vaikuntha. This is the story of Sutal Loka. So now, when Prahlad Maharaj went down, he gave the Murti to Varahapur. And then that devotee and his, what do you call, generations, they worshipped and worshipped and worshipped and kept on worshipping. But then Kali Yuga began after a long time. And then, you know, Vijayanagar dynasty fell down and many great empires who were respecting Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, they all fell down. Our caste GSB people were there in Goa before. So Gomantak fell down to Portuguese and, you know, of course, this is the current history. I'm talking about 1200 years back. So that time, when these Mughals came, many of the devotees put their deities in wells and they ran away. They just couldn't tolerate the onslaught. So many of them were in the wells. So that time, our Brahma Madhya Gaura Sampradaya, there's one branch which starts from Rajendra Tirtha Goswami. If you go from, in some Prabhupada's books, there is a lineage given. You will find Rajendra Tirtha. And from there, the GSB branch has started. It is after Madhvacharya. Okay? After Madhvacharya, this Swamiji comes. And then in one line comes Vijayendra Tirtha Swami. And he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he was doing spiritual Digvijaya, traveling and giving knowledge. And he was in Cochin that time. So it seemed that many Venkatrama deities he found in well. And he established in Cochin. Today also they are there. That's why we have people in Cochin also. Lots of our people are in Cochin also. And then one day he was coming from ocean, walking by the side of Varahapur. And there was one well. And there was one big snake, you know, doing some unusual movements, catching attention of Swamiji. And Swamiji, being a divine person, he understood something is there. The snake is trying to tell me something. So he told his disciples to go in the well and find out. And he found that deity, which was worshipped by Prahlad, the Ugra Narasimha deity. He was very, very happy. He got the message of the Lord through the snake. He was very happy. I understood it. And I got the blessing of the Lord. He took the murti and brought him in the ashram. And little mistake would happen. There were fires and fights in the ashram. And this was like, it became a daily affair. The Swamiji would like worship the deity so meticulously, but still there were fights and fires in the ashram. So one day Swamiji got so frustrated. He thought, I am so useless person that I am not able to please you. Let me take you and jump in the ocean and commit suicide and end this useless life. So that time the deity spoke to him. He said, I don't want to stay here. That's why all this is happening. I want to stay at the bank of Shambhavi River in Mulika Kshetra. So immediately Swamiji packed up with the deity on the head and started walking towards north from down south. Whole day he would travel and night he would halt somewhere. Again daytime he would start. And that way he traveled all the way and came to, you know, all Kasargod and Manjeshwara and everything. He came to the bank of Shambhavi River. And there is a place called Panapudumburu, one place is there. The history of this place is like this, that in this place, Ravan had come when he was lying with Pushpaka, thinking that it is Lanka. And he was so opulent place, such an opulent, shining place, that from sky, it looked like Lanka only. So he mistook it as Lanka and came down. But he understood he's like human being, not demons, so he went back. But he established one Shiva there, Pedupanamburu, in that place. And he went. Then when Lakshmana was unconscious, Hanumanji was flying everywhere and he was carrying Sanjeevani and he got down in this place thinking it's Lanka. And again he found there are no demons here, only human beings are there. And he found this place so enamoring and enchanting that he called it as Inner Lanka. Inner Lanka means Vola Lanka. Vola means inner. Antar Lanka. So Hanumanji also had come to this place and Ravana also had come to this place. It was such a beautiful place, the bank of Shambhav River. So, the Swamiji came there and this place is like 12 miles from Mulki, actual. So he thought that only 12 miles, no. I should not spend whole night here, and he says 12 miles, within less time I'll reach there. So he went to the king in the palace and told him, can you give me a mashal? Because usually he didn't travel in night, so there was no need of mashal, torch light. But today he felt I should take one torch light and just reach there in the now only. But the king started doubting him, questioning him, you know, putting such awkward questions to him, and finally refused to give torch light to him. Doubting the serenity, the kula, the source of this sadhu, doubting his sadhuship only. So the Maharaj felt that, you know, such kind of a king, he doesn't even respect sannyasi and the Lord also. I should not stay here for one moment also. Dark or no torchlight, I don't care. I will just leave. And he left from there. Instead of staying there, he left from there. And he just started walking towards that area called Mulika Kshetra. A thunder struck the palace of the king. And the whole palace went ablaze. And such a huge flame was created in the sky, up to the sky, that it gave light to the 12 miles area only, all together, till the destiny. And quickly the Swamiji ran, almost ran. That means he wanted a flame, he refused to give the flame. Lord created a flame out of the palace only. And he reached. And then it is said that he kept the murti, wherever he kept the murti in that village, it created fire. Till he came to this place where it is today, at the bank of Shambhavi River. Then after establishing this place, no more fires. And this has happened on Datta Purnima day. Datta Purnima is what? Margashirsha Purnima. On that day, this deity was installed. In 1569. Before that, one devotee came from north side of Maharashtra. And the king had some disease. The king could not get son. Then the Brahmana told him some tricks and finally he got the son by the austerities. So the king was very happy and he made a temple of Vittal Dev for the Brahmana. So in that temple, this Narasingha Dev was established. So Vittal Murti was already there, which also came from outside with the Brahmin. Then Narasingha Dev came. Then the king wanted to repair his palace. It was all burnt, na? So what happened was, whatever wood he got from outside to rebuild the palace, the wood would appear to be fully burnt when it entered the palatial area. The wood would be very good wood. But as soon as he brought the wood inside the area to repair, that wood became burnt wood. And that happened for a long time. Then he was like puzzled. So he called astrologer. He told, what is happening? But he told that, you have done Vaishnava Aparadha. So that time he understood that Sadhu had come to me with the Lord and I refused to serve him. The Lord and Sadhu both had come to my doorstep asking for help, but I did not take the opportunity. Instead, I did Aparadha for them. So he went running to Maharaj, and that time news came to Maharaj that king is coming to repent. So immediately he forgave him. So the king said that, please, I made a mistake. I got a golden opportunity at my doorstep of serving you and the Lord directly, but I refused. But I want to serve now. Please give me opportunity. Bring your Lord to my place again where you had come. I want to have a big festival for all Mulkivasis, everybody. But he said, I already installed deity. I cannot pick up the deity now. By the time Bindu Madhava had come from Varanasi, from the Aurangzeb onslaught, that time Madhava temple was in difficulty. So another Gurudev had brought Bindu Madhava in the name of Agni Bindu devotee. The name Bindu was taken and Madhava was brought by the devotee and he was installed in the temple. And that was taken as Utsav Murti of Narasingha Bhagwan. So then Swamiji took Bindu Madhava and went to that village where the king's palace was. Then the king's palace was repaired immediately. And after the repairing was done, he invited them and they had a big festival. Today also on the same tithi, every yearly, there's a festival in that village where Utsav Murti Bindu Madhava goes from Mulki to that village, Panaperumbur. Puduperumbur, yeah. I make mistake in that. So then, one more story happened in that village. They did one drama of Narsingadev. We all do, no, Narsingh drama. You know this story, Prabhuji? This story is very unique story. Huh? Please listen to me very carefully. I know Prasadam is waiting there, but please hear this story. So all of us, you know, when we do drama, we are constantly praying to the character we are doing. Suppose I am doing Bhima, then I am always praying to Bhima to help me, to act like you. And last day also we pray, please come in me and let me act like you. So drama took place. And somebody had, some devotee had become Narasimha Bhagavan. Some devotee had become Hiranyakashipu. Some devotee had become Prahlad and many more characters. And the drama started. And at the time of killing Hiranyakashipu, Narasimha of Mulki entered in Narasimha character, Patra. And he actually tore apart Hiranyakashipu. And Hiranyakashipu died on the stage. And everybody thought it's a part of drama, you know, like. But they didn't know he actually died. He actually tore him apart, took out his intestines, wore in the garland, everything he did. And there was a police case and everything happened. But he said, I don't know what happened. He was honestly telling, I don't know anything what happened. He could not remember anything what happened to him. You know, very genuine devotee. And finally, even the police and everything understood that he's a very genuine person. He doesn't know anything. He's not acting or, you know, trying lies or anything. Since that day, in Mulki, no Narasimha drama takes place. Till today. No Narasimha pictures, paintings, posters, frameworks are on the wall of anybody's house. If you give them anytime, they will go and put it in temple only. So in temple you will find many calendars and many photographs and many frames. All people are putting there because the understanding is such that because Swamiji, when he had come, na, wherever he put the deity, there was fire and fights. So they don't want to put Narasimha Murthy and photograph in their house. They always donate to the temple only. Then the genuine nature of this person was proved after some time. Like black and white proof. They perform next drama of Ram, Lakshman and Ramayana. And in that, Ram, Lakshman was born and they became big, and then Kaikeyi did a trick, Mantra did a trick, and finally Ram was banished to the forest. So this man was acting as Dasharath and others were acting as Ram, Lakshman, whatever. When Dasharath died in separation from Ram, this fellow died on the stage only. Actually died on the stage. So this is the way we should do acting actually. Genuinely pouring our heart into the role that we are playing, you know. So this is the story of Mulki. You must have never heard. There are other many stories also there. There are many more stories. Like after Swamiji went to that village once for the festival at the request of the king, then every year started going. And they would go in a big procession because the king would really invite them. And so one time they were walking in the fields and somebody's field was getting destroyed because of these masses walking on that. So they were very angry with them. What kind of people are my Broji Roti is getting destroyed. So he put a thorny fence to his field. And many devotees got hurt because of that. Because that thorny bush was in the middle of fully grown, you know, field. So they could not locate where the thorn is and where the bush is and where the fence is. Where they are walking normally as usual and they were really hurt. Bleeding, everything took place. As soon as that happened, that fellow's house got burnt. Fully ablaze into ashes. And he understood by God's grace that this is because of this. So he went running to Parapenambur and pleaded them, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. So Swamiji forgave him. Then his house was repaired. And then he again came and requested, please when you go now, halt at my house also. I want to serve your Lord. I didn't understand. I was so selfish. The Lord was passing by with devotees and I was trying to harm them, trying to put hindrance on their path, not to destroy my field. And what is my field? My field and my house, everything is destroyed now. So then he repaired his house and now the Lord goes there also. And then goes to the main place also. So lots of festivals are created by so-called mishaps. This is Mulki. So we have Venkatramana on top. Okay, last story. How Venkatramana came. In Karkala, you know, which is on the east side of our village, if you go highway north to south and you go to east, far east, 40 kilometers, then Karkala place comes. All mountain, hilly, only jungle, jungle and jungle. Very, very beautiful place. So there also Mughals attacked. And there was Venkatramana Mandir is there, Karkala. By the way, after this, our Swamiji's established Venkatramana temple everywhere. After Ugra Narasingha temple. Okay. So there was temple and enemies attacked. So the devotees from Brahmins from there, they picked up Venkatramana, came running to Mulki and put their Venkatramana in the well and ran away from there. After a long time, the war stopped, everything became peaceful. They were returning to their own place and started establishing everywhere. So then they came back to the well and they were searching for the deity and they could not find the deity. The deity was not there and they were very upset. The deity is not there. So they went back. The Mulki Brahmins got down the well and they searched and they got the deity. As soon as news came out that they got the deity, Karkala people came running, it's our deity. Mulki people said, it's not your deity, you could not find it. We found it, it's our deity. And this quarrel went on for a long time. And one fine day, the Lord Venkatramana came in the dreams of both. To the Mulki Brahmanas, he said, I want to live in Mulki only, I don't want to go there. Please worship me over here. So they established him on the topmost pedestal. And Lord came in the dream of Karkala Brahmins and told them, I want to live in Mulki only, don't fight with them. I promise you, in next 2 days, one sadhu from nowhere will come and give you exact replica of this Venkatramana of yours, and please accept that and establish in Karkala and start worshipping me there. In exact 2 days, one sadhu came and offered them the deity of Venkatramana, and that was worshipped today in Karkala temple. So unique nature of Mulki temple is all deities have come from outside. First Vittal came from outside, then Ugra Narasingha came from outside, then Bindu Madhav came from Varanasi, then Karkala se Venkatramana came. Then one time, one Mayur Varma king was there and he was trying to, you know, uplift the worship of the deities, but it's not happening. So he got some 4 Brahmins from some other place. I forgot the names of the villages. And they got 2 Vittal deities which their gurus had given them. As their worshipable deity, came with the deities to Mulki. He really settled them down and gave the houses and everything. So finally, those 2 Vittala also are brought to the temple, finally. So 2 Vittala, 1 Vyasadeva, 1 Kodigoli Krishna is there, 1 Udupi Krishna also is there, standing, small. Then big Shaligram Shila is there, big golden pot and Shaligram Shila is there. Then Bindu Madhava on lower level, middle Narasimha Dev, and upper Venkatramana and Sridevi Bhudevi is there. So big gang of the lords standing in Mulki. Very powerful place. And the lord is so much, only maybe 4 inches or 5 inches in height. But so finely made. One left leg is half bent. Right leg is on that. And with 8 arms, 2 arms are holding Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu is having a sword in the hand also. The lord is holding, the lord is tearing apart, and lord is wearing. And 2 arms have Shankha and Padma. And mouth is open and big tongue is coming out. Huge eyes. Ugra Narasimha Bhagavan ki, Mulika Kshetra Dham ki, Shambhavi Nadi ki, Jai Jai Sri Radhe Shyam.